Hi, everybody. Dean Crisp in the studio this week. Really excited to talk about ownership. And I'm going to get you to ask yourself a question. Do I own my life and do I own my leadership, or am I just borrowing it from others? I think you're going to enjoy this episode. So as we always say, sit back, turn up that volume, get ready to change your life.
Hi, I'm Dean Crisp. Welcome to Straight Talk on Leadership. This is what we'd like to say is the no BS zone, where we give you leadership tips, ideas, and practical suggestions to help you become a top leadership performer. Our goal is simple: help you become the best version of yourself and reach your highest potential as a leader. So sit back, turn up the volume, be ready to change your life.
Hi, everybody. Dean Crisp, really glad to be with you this week. And every week I do these podcasts, I say I'm so excited to be in the studio with you talking about things that I believe can help not only me, but help you in your life, not only life personally, but life as a leader. Life as a leader is certainly not easy. It's always difficult, for sure. Life in general is always handing us all kinds of challenges. And this week, I'm going to talk about how do we take ownership, not only of our leadership, but of our life. And do we really own it? Or are we just borrowing it from other people? Are we just like using their authority? Or are we just using what they've given us in terms of how our life and our quality of life is? Are we really getting the most out of that? So first, before we get into the podcast, I want to thank all of you for joining us on these podcasts. I do say it every week, but I can't say it enough. Our listenership, whatever that is you want to call it, has increased every single week. We're doing numbers now that we only imagined that we would do when we first started this podcast, and we're up over 100 now. And if you can imagine that, over 100 podcasts where we have sat down with you on a weekly basis, so for several years now, and really talked about what was on our mind about leadership in one simple hope. And that hope was to add value to your life and to add value to the life of yourself and the others around you. That's really all we want to do, is to add value. And I hope we've been able to do that. Okay, so let's get right into the podcast here, and let's talk about where this came from. And I always try to work out early in the mornings, particularly if I'm not traveling that week. When I'm at home, I always try to get up really early. And I do a thing that I have been really trying to do over the last several years, is what I call get ahead of your day. And you've heard me talk about it just a little bit on the podcast. Is what I mean by getting ahead of your day is get up early enough to give yourself enough time to be able to self-reflect, kind of set the tone for the day, kind of determine the direction that you're going to go, and then you kind of guide your day instead of other people guiding your day. If you're getting up just early enough or just late enough to jump right out of bed, jump in the shower, get yourself a little bit to eat, and then get on the road and ride to work, I guarantee you, you're going to be chasing your day all day. And the reason is because it chased you this morning. It got you out of bed. You got to look forward to getting out of bed. And if you do that, you have a tendency to kind of get ahead of your day. So as I always try to do when I'm home, and I was home this week, and I went to the gym, and as I'm on the gym, and one of the reasons I like going to the gym is because it gives me a sense of accomplishment to know that I do something I don't want to do. So let's be really clear. I run, but I don't like running. I work out, but I don't really like to go into a gym and sweat for an hour and then walk out thinking that I've accomplished something really great when I really didn't want to be there to begin with. But I go because it creates a discipline within me that makes me better throughout the day. Because I know that if I'll start out in the morning doing something I don't want to do, then it guides my day and getting things done that need to be done, not just because I want to get done. So what I do is I use the gym or the physical kind of aspect of my life as a way to help me in other areas of my life. And I've done that for years. So I'm a member of Planet Fitness and I go there as often as I can. And I was on the treadmill and I was looking around the gym, you know, as people were working out in the gym. And I was looking at people who were really, really working out. And then I was looking at people that were just kind of just going really easy and texting on their phone while they were sitting on a bike, or they were walking really slow and texting. And well, hey, look, let me give them credit for being there. And, you know, Planet Fitness had this thing called the no judgment zone. And I wasn't being judgmental, but I was thinking, man, who really takes ownership of them being there? What are they really owning this while they're here? Or are they just here because they think it's something they want to do, or somebody told them it's a good idea, or they're just doing, you know, what are they really trying to do? And I thought about that for a minute and I thought, man, that is such, you know, that's such an example of how life is. If we own something, we are much more dedicated. We are much more committed. We are much more into what we're trying to do versus if we're just borrowing it. And what I mean is, borrowing it is you don't really take it seriously, and you could take it or leave it, or you could give it back, or you never give it back. You just kind of have it. And I thought, man, do I really own my life or what I'm trying to do in leadership, or am I just borrowing it? And I thought, man, look at these folks in the gym. It kind of gives you an idea of a really clear visual, if you will, of who takes ownership. And I thought, man, that would be a great podcast. That'd be a great thought about, let's talk about ownership and let's talk about owning life and owning our leadership. Because I think that you will never reach your full potential until you own something. And this is really how simple this thought came to my head. When I was looking there, I saw this piece of paper, like a towel. It wasn't really a dirty, nasty towel. It was like a paper towel that someone had missed the trash can when they tried to throw it in. And I saw it laying beside the trash can, and I started watching people walk by it. Like, how many people would just go ahead and throw their towel in there, their little paper towels, into the trash can, and how many would pick it up versus how many would just walk by it? And what I found interesting was that nobody picked it up. And I thought, well, then that tells me something. That tells me that one of two things. They either don't want to do it because they think it might be nasty or dirty, which I understand totally, but there are ways to pick it up. But I thought, this is really indicative of ownership. Because if somebody came to this gym and they weren't just borrowing this gym as a facility, and they weren't just borrowing the Planet Fitness because they paid so much per month, if they really thought about it and took ownership, they'd pick that piece of paper up. And I thought, wow, you know, that is so true. Because when you own something, you care about it. When you own something, you take care of it. You nurture it. You grow it. You fix it. If it's broke, you fix it. If you don't own it, you walk right by it. And I thought, man, that is so true. So I made it a point when I got off, I thought, well, I'm not just going to borrow those facilities today. And I'm not trying to tell you that I'm somebody who walks around and picks up every single piece of paper. I'm just telling you that that piece of paper made me think about ownership. And I went down there and rolled the towel off of the rack, got a clean one, picked it up, put it in the trash can. And I thought to myself, man, that felt pretty good, because it was like, you know what? I'm just not borrowing these facilities. I'm taking ownership of it. And as such, I'll pay more attention to when stuff isn't fixed. For example, if it's dirty, will you tell somebody or just walk right by it? If it's not in order, will you tell somebody or just walk right by it? If you're borrowing it, you have a tendency to walk right by it. That's why we do life. That's how we do leadership. And I started thinking about it, and I thought, my goodness, let me think about some examples of ownership versus borrowing something. So think about this in life. Do we really own what we do? Are we responsible for our own personal growth, or are we just leaving it up to others to help us grow? Do we think it's our boss's responsibility to help us grow personally in life? Do we think that magically by just sitting around and not doing anything to take care of our bodies physically, that all of a sudden we're just going to be in good shape? Well, the answer to those questions are absolutely not. How about if we took ownership of our life and if we took ownership of who we are and ownership of our own personal development? How much better would we be? You know, and I thought about that and I thought, wow, that's an amazing thought process. Is when we take ownership, we don't see things the same way. We see them differently. And so let's talk about this for a second in terms of owning your own leadership. So if you thought about this for a minute, you really have access to the people you work with through the position or the authority that the agency gives you. So in other words, they loan you that authority and they give that to you. And my question is, do you take it like you own it? Or do you take it like you're borrowing it? Because there's a big difference. And so when you think about this for a second, I want you to think about this thought. Your rank or your position only gives you access to people. You earn the right every day to lead them by the things that you do. And so if you take ownership, your leadership is going to be 100% better. And, you know, when you think about that, do the people that work with you or work around you, do they think you own your leadership or are you just borrowing it? Because there's one thing for certain. If you're just borrowing it and loaning it, you will never be as good at it as you can be unless you own it. So I thought about that and I thought, man, how do I know if I'm owning something? How do I know if I'm really taking ownership of my leadership or ownership of my life? And so during the next few minutes, I'm going to give you some things that I wrote down and some thoughts that I had regarding, do I own my life? Do I own my leadership? So the first sign that I want to give you is, and you question yourself, do I own my leadership or do I own my life, is, do you sweat the small things? Now, years and years ago, there was a book that came out that was a bestseller that said, don't sweat the small stuff. Well, I submit to you that if you own something, you always sweat the small things. You always pay attention to those small things. Because if you pay attention to those small things, they will take care, the big things will take care of themselves. And the small things are in particular about leadership. Let's say that someone comes in that day or comes in to work and they've got a little bit of an attitude. They're not used to having a little bit of an attitude, but they got this kind of thing they do that aggravates everybody. Well, if you're borrowing your leadership, you tend to do nothing about it. You just think someone else will fix it. Somebody who has more ownership than me will come by and take care of that, or they'll fix it themselves, which generally does not happen. And so do you stop for a moment and you say, look, let's get this on the right track. Let's take this one small detail and let's get this on track and make a better day. I do know this about dealing with problem employees. Now, I want you to hear this because it was one of the best sayings I ever heard. And it was a guy, Alex Torbach from Savannah, said this. And he was in one of my classes. And I want to give him full credit for saying it. Alex said, it's easier to put out, to blow out a match than it is to put out a forest fire. You think about that for a minute. That's a great way of looking at things. Do we sweat the small things? Like, for example, you know, when we're taking care of our own physical body, do we sweat the small things? Or do we eat more than we should? Do we pick and add food? Do we do things we shouldn't do? Do we sweat the small things? Do we pay attention? Do we not work out? Do we not walk? Those are small things we do that have major impact. Do we sweat the small things? The second thing that I found was really important in terms of helping me kind of understand, do I take ownership, is, do I have a sense of urgency? So in other words, do I want to get things done? Do I just want to let them happen, or do I want somebody else to do them, or do I have a sense of urgency? And I think, you know, as I've been leading in the last number of years and working with people in leadership over the last number of years, one thing that's driving them bananas, and it drives me bananas too, is that the younger generation, and I'm talking about folks born probably around 1990 to 2000, somewhere in that area, or even earlier, sometimes around 85, 86, 87, something like that, that those folks, the new generation, doesn't have a sense of urgency about anything. They have what I call a slow life strategy. In other words, they just let things come to them. They don't start driving. They don't start taking responsibility. They don't start saving their money. They want their parents to help them. I mean, they don't have a sense of urgency about what's my future going to be? What am I going to do? Well, you know, they'll just say, well, I'll figure it out as I go. And, you know, back when we all, when I went to high school, my mom and dad had a sense of urgency. When you got out of school, that sense of urgency was you get a job. And the newer generations, we delay that 4 or 5 years, let them go to college, and then we figure they'll figure it out. So if you take ownership of anything, you have a sense of urgency about you. Is it working? Does it need fixing? What needs to be done? Where am I going? What's happening right now? You have a sense of urgency where you're future oriented, if you will.
Let's take a short break from the show and we'll be right back.
Hey, Straight Talk on Leadership listeners. I just wanted to take a quick break and thank each and every one of you for listening to our podcast. With your support, Dean climbed to Amazon's bestseller list for his new book, Essential Leadership Lessons from the Thin Blue Line. You can purchase Dean's book at any of your favorite retail locations, as well as our home website. We would love to see you in one of Dean's upcoming live classes. You can find where Dean will be teaching next, as well as buy his new book at www.lhln.org. Thanks again. Now, back to the episode.
The next thing I found about ownership, and I thought this was just so important, is you got to see the bigger picture. You can't see this small picture of, okay, let's talk about leadership for a second, seeing the bigger picture. One, you got to know that any small thing can become a very large thing. You got to know that there's a bigger picture that makes all this work than just my little unit that I work in. You got to know that every part that you work on has a major impact on the end product. You got to know there's a bigger picture. You can't caught up in that little kind of mindset that you've got of just seeing right in front of you. You got to know there's a bigger horizon. It would be like, let's think about this for a second when I talk about adjusting your horizon. Let's imagine for a second that you were on the beach, and if you had blinders on and all you could see was the sand around your feet, you wouldn't realize there was an ocean out there. But then if you expanded your horizon to look just a little bit under the water, you'd realize, hey, there's a lot of water out there. And then if you expanded it past the pier and then past the horizon, you'd realize, oh my God, there's a bigger world out there. And you play a part. Every piece of that sand on that beach plays a major part in the bigger overall world. That's seeing the bigger picture. You've got to see the bigger picture. When you take ownership, the first thing is you know there's a bigger picture. And so then you see the bigger picture. The next thing, in terms of taking ownership of your leadership, is do you begin with the end in mind? Now, that question is, what am I trying to accomplish? So it's like me teaching a class, okay? And I'll give you an example of an end in mind. Do I walk into a classroom, which I have had plenty of teachers or instructors or faculty or whatever you want to call them over the past 10 years that I've been teaching. I've had plenty of people who walk in the classroom and the end in mind is get through the material. Well, that's one begin with the end in mind, but that's a very small end in mind. So if I walk into the classroom and I say, okay, is it more important to get through the material or is it more important to change the lives of the students with the material? You see, that's beginning with the end in mind. The end in mind that I always have is, let's try to change the lives of the students. Let's don't try to cover all the material to just throw it out there, but let's cover enough to leave them curious to where they want to change their lives. And so if you begin with the end in mind, knowing that, hey, I want to change lives, and that's just an example of me personally, you might have your own story in terms of how do I begin with the end in mind. My recommendation would be like if you're doing staff meetings or you're having meetings, one of the things that can be a real problem is we get caught up in the moment of the meeting. We don't ever begin the meeting with the end in mind of what we're trying to accomplish. We just walk in. If any of y'all out there ever attended the same meeting for the last 10 or 15 years, in other words, you talk about the same things, nothing ever gets finished, nothing ever gets fixed, and it's the same people, same problem every single freaking day. See, that's not beginning with the end in mind. That's beginning with what's in front of your face. So if you take ownership, you need to begin with the end in mind. The next thing I found about taking ownership is I develop a discipline that surpasses motivation. Now, you think about that for a second. You think about the importance of a discipline surpassing. Well, let's talk about for a second. What is a discipline that surpasses motivation is? Well, motivation is something that you need to help you get something done. That's pretty simple. And I always think about motivation. I say there's three types of motivation. There's kind of want to do it. That's the first kind, which generally means that about 10 to 15 to 20% actually get done if you kind of want to do something. And this is not a podcast about that because I probably need to do a podcast about these types of motivation. But when you think about it, you kind of want to do it means it's probably not going to get done. The second one is when you get determined to do it. Now, here's where a lot of people mistake in the fact that they believe if they're determined to do it, they're going to get it done. Not true. Because what happens when you show determination is that I guarantee you in life that anything you're determined to do. Now, I want y'all to think about this for a second. Now, I want you to pause and think about this because I promise you, you'll absolutely agree with me. Anything that you're determined to do in life, there is someone more determined to keep you from doing it. Now, that sounds crazy, but that is so true. And so sometimes their determination outdetermines yours. So in other words, they'll tell you no, or they'll say you can't do it. I guarantee every one of us out there, somebody's told us we can't do it. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you're from. You've always had somebody tell you you can't do something. And if we believed them, then we were just determined. Third level of motivation is called driven. When you are driven to do something, you probably have about a 90% chance of getting it done. Why? Because you will surpass motivation when you're driven to get things done. When you're driven to do something, you begin to develop a discipline that surpasses motivation. Motivation is very fleeting. Motivation is very, it's not one of the strongest things you have to have in your life because it's up and down. Discipline is what you have to develop because it will surpass motivation. Now, I've read Jocko Willink's book, Extreme Ownership. And the one thing that book was a hard read for me, but I will tell you something in that book that changed my life when it comes to a thought that he had in there. He said, discipline will fill the gap when motivation fails. Now you think about that. That's a huge statement. So you got to be disciplined. When you develop a discipline, you start owning something like going to the gym. Like if you own your physical fitness, then you will work out way more days when you don't feel like it than you will when you feel like it. Because I guarantee you one thing's for certain. If you work out because you feel like it, then you're going once every 30 days. But if you work out because you're disciplined, you're probably going 5 times a week. And that's just the difference. You've got to have when you develop a discipline about what you have, you will have taken ownership. Like a car. Now, I know some of you young folks out there, y'all don't do like we used to do. We used to have to go to the gas station and check the oil, check the tires, check everything, the fluids in the car every time we filled up because they were very unreliable. Nowadays, you ain't changing oil but every dang 10,000 miles. But back in the day, we had to be disciplined enough to know that every time we stopped and got gas, we looked under the hood to see if it was still okay. That's ownership. That's a great example of owning something. When you know your discipline will surpass your motivation, you own it. Let's talk about something else that creates ownership. One, and this is a big one, do you show up no matter what? If you show up no matter what, no matter what's been handed to you, no matter how you feel, no matter what the circumstances were the day before, no matter how hard it was, no matter how much you don't want to do it, if you show up, you are taking ownership. Showing up is a major part of taking ownership. Do you show up? There have been so many days in my life that I didn't want to show up. And it wasn't because I was afraid. It wasn't because that the problems were too tough. It just, I didn't feel like it. But I did anyway. I showed up. And so you think about in leadership, do I show up every day with my leadership? Do I show up every single day becoming the absolute best that I can be? Or do I just show up and put half my effort into it? Man, you got to show up. Taking ownership means you're going to show up no matter what. This is one of the things that I want to say in this podcast I think was really important is I hear people say this a lot, and I just believe they're wrong. They're not bad people. They're just ill-informed. They will say failure's not an option. I say you have lost your mind. Failure is always an option. If you are going to try anything in life worthwhile, you might as well get your failure column ready because you're going to be checking blocks in that failure column off the wazoo. There's going to be way more failure columns than there are success columns. Thomas Edison tried to invent the light bulb 1,000 times and finally got it on the last time. And you're going to fail. What's not an option when you don't take ownership is quitting. You can't quit. No matter how hard it is, you get knocked down 7, get up 8. You get knocked down 10, get up 11. Ownership means you keep getting up. You absolutely got to show up. You cannot give in. Now, here's the last one. On this will give you an example of do I own my life? Do I own my own leadership? John Maxwell said this best when he said, one of the greatest skills or one of the major things that leaders should always do is see more than others and before others. And when you take ownership of something, that's exactly what you do. You see more than others and you see before others. You see what could be, not what is. And if you're going to own something, you got to walk into that room or you got to go to where you're going to go and you got to say, this is what it's going to be, but this is not what it is right now. One of the greatest gifts that I give my students, and I do this every time I go somewhere, every time I see someone in leadership role, I don't care if it's a student, I don't care if it's somebody I'm consulting with, I don't care if it's somebody I'm working with. I wish that as a leader, I would have done this much, much more. But the greatest gift that you can give any person that you work with is seeing them for what they can be, not what they are. If you will see them for what they can be, they look different. If you see them for what they can be, you see their growth. You see their ability. You see them at their best. But sometimes if you see them for what they are, you look at the worst in them. You got to give them that gift. So when you take ownership, you see more than others and before others, and you see people for what they can be. You know, I hope that you've enjoyed this podcast because I certainly loved putting it together because it has really realigned some of the things in my life to help me take more ownership of my life. Because I guarantee you one thing, then this is for sure. If you don't own it, you can't give it away. If you're only borrowing it, you absolutely are just going to let others come and go as they please, and you're never going to take ownership. And the one thing I want to add to this last point on leadership or on seeing more than others is that when you own it, you give it back better than you found it. And that's one of the biggest charges that we have in life. One of the biggest goals we should have as a leader is to give our leadership. You're never going to own it. You're going to give it back. You are going to hand it over to someone. You're going to hand what you are in charge of to someone else someday. There will be an end date. And my question to you is, do you give it back better than you found it? That's the way you know if you truly take ownership of your life and of your leadership. Folks, I hope you've enjoyed it. And as we always say, until next time, I'm Dean Crisp.
You've been listening to the Straight Talk on Leadership podcast with Dean Crisp. Be sure to like and subscribe to this podcast in iTunes or Spotify so that you do not miss a future episode. Also, please visit our website, www.lhln.org, where you can find the show notes, links provided by our guests, and learn more about the Leaders Helping Leaders Network and our upcoming classes. Until our next episode in the No BS Zone, be sure to put your leadership into action every day. Thank you for listening.